Welcome to episode 269 of the Tent and Thrive podcast, brought to you by Tent and Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 10-10 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Although we find these words in chapter 4 and not in the final chapter, chapter 6, these are essentially the final instructions from Paul to his young protege in this epistle. Note the three things to which Timothy must devote himself: reading, exhortation, and teaching, or as some versions put it, doctrine. Each of these things are centered on God's word. He must prioritize these things in both his private life and in his public ministry. Some versions translate devote yourself as give attention to. I prefer devote yourself, as it suggests passion and submission. You are not just attending to something, you are giving your full being. Verse 15 says, practice these things, immerse yourself in them. However, the New King James Version puts it this way: meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them. Paul called Timothy to meditate on God's word and the work of God in his life. This is not emptying our minds, the goal of Eastern meditation, but filling our minds with God's word and truth. Timothy was encouraged to give it his all, to put forth a maximum effort, and by doing so, his progress would be evident to all. Often progress is not evident because we do not give ourselves entirely to the pursuit of God and his will. God has given us a scripture for us to read, for us to encourage ourselves and others, and for us to grow spiritually through a deeper understanding of doctrinal truth. How committed are you to doing these things? Each Thursday, we share with you verses for your reflection and edification from the book under study. Check out our website for a recommended list of 300 verses to memorize. That list includes three passages from the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is no valid way to God that does not come through Jesus. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Because Timothy was young, he was vulnerable to the errors of youth, which bring the often justified criticism of those older. To address this, Paul called him to live a life that was so godly that no one could despise his youth. But there is a second part to this exhortation, a call to be an example. The King James Version says, "Be thou an example of the believers." Many think this is a more accurate translation. The idea here is that Timothy was to be the best representation possible of a Christian believer. However, he's just to be one representation. We are also called to be examples in our lives. In word, what we say. In conduct, what we do. In spirit, our attitude. In faith, our commitment. In purity, how we differentiate ourselves from the world. And above all, in love. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We need to take care of our own, and take care of our own within our families, within our churches, within our communities. Here are 10 more passages that did not make the list on our website. That gives us a total of 13 for the book. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul's claim to be the chief of sinners was not an expression of a strange false humility. Genuinely felt that his sins made him more accountable before God than others. Remember, he started his career persecuting Christians. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Beyond question, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. These words were part of an early Christian hymn that affirmed the foundation of Christian truth, simple yet so profound. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Physical exercise has become an obsession for some. Fitness apps are all the rage. Peloton subscriptions are increasing. People are committed to getting in their workouts, for meeting 10,000 step daily goals, for trying the new craze, whether it is Pilates, CrossFit, or Everesting. But how much are we training for spiritual growth? For every hour that we spend in the gym, do we spend an equal amount of time in the Word? 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Real contentment isn't too difficult for those whose real home is heaven. 1 Timothy 6, verses 7 to 8. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. A baby is not only born penniless, but without even a pocket to put pennies in. Just as certainly we can carry nothing out. The things that make a person rich in this world mean nothing in the world to come. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Significantly, the desire for riches is far more dangerous than the riches themselves. And it isn't only the poor who desire to be rich. It is also the rich who want more riches. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. There is no sin that cannot be committed for the sake of money. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Instead of pride and riches, Timothy was to make these things his pursuit. These are the things which are often not valued in our present age, but are very valuable to God. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Going God's way against the flow of this world won't be easy. Therefore, Timothy had to have a soldier's determination. God calls us to be fighters, but to fight the good fight of faith, a fight where some may lose a battle here and there, but they will carry on the fight with great determination until the war is over, when we lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. The phrase puts it all in perspective. These ones might be rich now, but they must use their riches responsibly if they will be rich in the age to come. There we have it, 13 passages from the book of 1 Timothy. But besides these verses that we have highlighted, consider reading more as a part of your personal study. Father, thank you for the gift of your word. May it fill our hearts today and transform us so that we will be obedient to your will. Help us to read more, to grow more, and to encourage others based on that which we learn. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.